The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, January 14th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, the American Farm Bureau Federation convention is underway. The Farm Bill and immigration are at center stage. Also, University of Minnesota researchers say producers should be able to feed pigs DDG levels of up to 30%. I'll have these and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will be by with a report on energy conservation. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Settlement prices at Kansas City and at the Chicago Board of Trade on Monday afternoon look like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 933, up 9. July, 878.5, up 30. At the Board of Trade, March wheat, 917, up 7.75. May, 934, up 11.5. July, 836 up 30, September 844.5 up 30, December 857 up 29, March corn 512 up 17, May 524.25 up 18, July 534.75 up 18.75, December 530.5 up 17.25, January beans 1297 up 11, March 1296.5 down 2.25, May 1314.25 down 2.75, July 1332 up 1.25, November 1263 up 18. February live cattle 9090 down 45, January feeders 9842.5 down 107.5, February lean hogs 5410 up 10, and February bellies 8462.5 up 62.5 on the day. Joining us now to take a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it was a wild day. For a good chunk of the day, we saw prices in beans and corn, many contracts locked limit up, but most of them came back to ground before the day was over. Is this profit-taking or something else?
Well, it took away the anxiety when the market was locked limit up. I know there was quite a few bid orders in limit up, but a lot of that was, I think, the longs protecting their position there for a while by putting additional buy orders in, and whenever the volume started to dry up, they sort of jerked those orders pretty quick. But, no, we probably saw a little bit of a round of profit-taking. I had a little bit of hedge activity, too, with the wide basis. Buying cash grain a little weaker on the basis provided some hedge opportunity there. But we're incredibly overbought. You know, if you look at this relative strength index, it's well over 90, plastered up against the ceiling there, and it's healthy for the market to sort of back and fill. We've seen limit moves there late last week, couple of early limit moves here, so it could probably back and fill here. Oftentimes you hear the term turnaround Tuesday, we could be set up maybe a more of a two-sided trade tomorrow.
Would you expect corn then tomorrow to back and fill the gap it made off the opening bell today?
Longer term, it will. I mean, there's always chart gaps there, and at these price levels, you would think would be vulnerable to some backing and filling. There's some big gaps with the limit moves there on Friday, so we'll see as time goes on through here. don't know how big of a correction we can get, but right now, March corn, the trade's going to view the $5 as fairly good support, and the upside objective would be $5, or $5.50, that is. March beans, the key there is probably this 1280, 85 area. If we can stay above that, the trend's so considered up. We did record a hook reversal to the downside. We made a new high and closed lower, and we did close below the opening, so there is a little cautious in old crop beans. But you'll probably see the bear spread kick in on the beans as the trade sort of watches near-term bean demand maybe start to slow due to the southern hemisphere crop coming online as we go into March and April. Then probably see quite a bit of support in the deferred contract as the trade's starting to pick up what we've been talking about clear back 6 months ago. When you look at the new crop projections, take the current situation, roll it into 2008, we have to have 6 to 7 million more bean acres in order to keep the supply-demand balance sheet in positive territory, Dave.
Could that hook reversal down in the March futures contract for the soybeans be nothing more than January going off the board and March responding to it?
It could be. That often happens. Jans went off at 1297. The March closed at 1296. So, right there we didn't leave a gap on the lead chart, per se. So that fairly well fulfilled that. But, two, the product meals was meal basis has widened out quite a bit, and meal was down on the day, whereas oil hung in there due to higher Malaysia palm oil values going to all-time highs and supporting our market, too. So there is a little concern technically and fundamentally that the old crop beans might start to take a backseat compared to the other commodities. Probably the big sleeper of all, that the commodity's got the most upside potential now that we've seen huge rally in wheat, huge rally in the corn, and a huge rally in the beans is the oats. If you're one that raises oats, it's kind of hard to maybe raise oats with $5 corn and almost, $12.50 beans and wheat's where it's at. So if you're one to buy something, roll the dice, the oat market might be something to watch here over the next 6 months.
There was other fuels thrown on the fire today for the bulls to chew on. We had a couple of fundamental things. We learned that the crush was higher than anticipated from the trade guesses. And then we also got news out today from Informa that they're putting new crop December corn at 550, which is a number that's in the trade, but they brought up $6 for this spring.
That would be the next upside target after you challenge 5.5. It's going to work probably in 50 cent increments. If you go back 2 years ago, there's some of the analysts that said if we would ever get a bull market and get some solid legs under it, which we are seeing now, $6 would be the next swing objective to the upside. So most definitely they're going to talk lead contract 5.54 was the July 96 high. That gives way. $6 would be the next benchmark. But, at $6, what type of demand are we going to see when we get there? We're starting to see this demand come forward already. South Korea has been a huge buyer. They bought another 116,000 tons of U.S. corn. We're seeing a lot of end users gather some coverage. It kind of reminds me of the wheat market. We basically brought all this demand forward from the export sector. We booked about 95% of the wheat sales in the first 3 months of the marketing year. We're not there yet on the corn, but oftentimes whenever you bring this demand forward like that, who's going to be left to buy other than just the guy off the street?
Yeah, South Korea sailed today. An Israeli consortium has sailed today. Taiwan looking to tender on Wednesday. So it does appear to me like end users are feeling as though prices could go significantly higher and they want to get coverage now.
Yeah, I think we're seeing some of that anxiety. If you go back in history, the export market has been an excellent indicator of a top. Some of the past markets, especially in the 80s, it seemed like Asia would come in just like clockwork. They'd book a bunch, and that was a high. The next day we'd get 2 or 3 inches of rain, and down we went. So You know, there's some warning signs out there that, you know, we need to keep an eye on. When you start seeing huge moves like this, it can be quite scary. Talked to a couple guys who were fortunate enough to be long the bean market in the early 70s there. They said it was a thrill on the way up, but it took them 3 to 4 days before the market would let them out.
Thanks much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He is in Normal, Illinois, and he joins us every Monday afternoon during the Closing Market Report. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser tells us a flood warning remains in effect for Iroquois County until 9:45 a.m. tomorrow. That's Tuesday. Otherwise, tonight across the two-state region, in Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy. In northern Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries and lows from 8 to 25. Tomorrow in Illinois, mostly sunny. In northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers. Elsewhere in Indiana, a mix of clouds and sunshine with a few scattered flurries. And highs ranging from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 36 degrees in the far south. In agricultural news, groundbreaking feeding trials at the University of Minnesota suggests higher DDG levels only have minimal impact on grow-finished pigs. UM researchers conducted two studies. The first showed a human taste panel could not tell the difference from cooked pork loins and bacon from pigs fed 30% DDGs and those not fed DDGs at all. The second study found the shelf life of DDG fresh pork loins in the grocery were unaffected up to 28 days. The team also found that producers can feed pigs up to 30% DDGs with no impact on growth performance, carcass characteristics, and muscle quality. Speakers at the American Farm Bureau Convention say don't expect an election year to have quick fixes to the nation's immigration woes. Comprehensive guest worker reform legislation was defeated in Congress last year, and illegal immigration is now a battleground among presidential candidates. The problem is causing some states to see shifts in crops and harvest losses due to lack of workers. USDA Acting Secretary Chuck Connors says producers must make additional compromises if Congress is going to pass a farm bill anytime soon. In Connors' words, "I cannot sugarcoat this message on the farm bill to you," Connor told AFB convention delegates on Sunday. But AFBF President Bob Stallman says farmers have made enough sacrifices. In his words, "We feel like we have compromised a great deal from what our original proposal had in it." But Stallman also conceded that the White House is serious about the veto threat of the farm bill. The president of the National Cotton Council says he's disturbed that the WTO continues to rule against U.S. cotton subsidies. Mark Lang says the WTO isn't making any sense.
"I find the rulings by their dispute panels to be inscrutable. If the World Trade Organization thinks that what's happening under their dispute settlement process is strengthening anybody's view of the organization, they're sadly mistaken. Because how do you have a ruling that says you have trade distortion, but by how much? And you're not in compliance with our previous rulings, but the U.S. made substantial changes in programs. It's like death by a thousand cuts. How many more changes do you have to make? And which one finally is the thing that matters?"
And Lang adds, "It doesn't help that foreign negotiators continue to drag their feet on market access issues in the Doha round of world trade talks."
"We're not seeing what I think is the progress that has to be made on developing countries' market access, and in particular for cotton. That's China. You know, China is trying to hide behind being a recently acceded member. China's view is they don't have to do hardly anything further to be part of a new Doha round. And clearly, for cotton, There has to be substantial improvement in market access for China for us to feel like we're gaining anything, given the other disciplines that we'll face in terms of reduced domestic support that would be part of this agreement.
Lang made his comments in Nashville at the Beltwide Cotton Conference. U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez says failure to pass a bilateral free trade deal with South Korea could shut the U.S. out of a key Asian market. Gutierrez also urged South Korea to resume imports of U.S. beef, saying lawmakers won't act on the trade deal until the matter is resolved. The free trade deal will be on the agenda when South Korea officials visit Washington, D.C. later this month to meet with lawmakers and the Bush administration. Japan has banned beef imports from Pennsylvania-based Moyer Packing Plant for sending beef from cattle over the age of 20 months. The plant mistakenly set the age limit in its computer programs for up to and including 21 months instead of up to and including 20 months. The outgoing president of the United Soybean Board says it's time for a fresh start between the USB and state soybean associations. Eric Neiman says consideration should be given to forming a new American Soybean Association that would provide a more equal role for state organizations in determining policy and strategy direction.
It's about control, and, you know, you're looking at 13 other checkoffs.
ASA President John Hoffman says there has been no serious examination of how ASA, USB, and state organizations should work together since the creation of the soybean checkoff in 1991.
It's probably time after 17 or 18 years to just take a look at how the system is functioning and if there's ways we can tweak it to improve it to make it better.
Neiman says there should be discussions at the grassroots level with soybean producers. The National Grain and Feed Association says it would be inadvisable for the federal government to develop standards for biofuel products at this time. The association has told USDA's Grain Inspection Packers and Stockyards Administration that existing regulatory and industry frameworks, as well as prudent contracting practices, are sufficient to facilitate the trading of distillers' grains. And scientists at the European Food Safety Authority have approved meat and milk from cloned animals. But the EU's 27 individual governments must decide whether to allow sale to consumers. A French official on Friday said that France, for example, will conduct its own tests on cloned meat and milk to determine product safety. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Energy experts at the University of Illinois are reminding homeowners that there are two ways to conserve energy, management, and investment. Todd Gleason has more.
You can save money this winter on your home heating bill in a couple of different ways. University of Illinois Extension engineer Ted Funk says the adjustments fall into two categories, management and investment.
And the way I like to think of it, you can work those together, but if, for instance, there are some small things that you can do in managing what you have. You've often heard about turning the thermostat down. The more you cut the inside temperature, you can cut your heating costs by a couple percent per degree that you turn the house thermostat down. So that's an example of management. And, of course, you can invest in a programmable thermostat so that you can turn the temperature down more when you leave the house. You can turn it down at night when you're asleep. Some people like to sleep in a cooler environment anyway, and then crank it back up when the family is active.
Another management example is calibrating the water heater. Funk says the dishwasher water temperature is the upper limit that should be considered.
You can run water out of a hot water faucet and put a thermometer underneath it and check it. If you don't have a dishwasher, you know, 120 degrees is probably plenty warm enough. But if you run your hot water heater at too high a setting, you're just losing through standby losses, especially if that water heater is sitting out in the garage or an unconditioned space. So that would be another example of managing what you have, and it doesn't really cost anything as far as out-of-pocket expense.
On the investment side, Funk says it's best to make sure the house is sufficiently insulated. For a large portion of the Midwest, he suggests attic insulation at the R38 level. That's about 12 inches of insulation. Sidewalls should be insulated, too. And for older homes, Funk says it's fairly inexpensive to top off the blown-in insulation that's likely settled already in the walls. Crawl spaces can be insulated as well. You must be careful here. If the crawl space is filled with water pipes, it's okay to insulate the outer walls, but not underneath the floorboards. You need the heat to keep the pipes from freezing. Whatever you do in the crawl space, though, Funk cautions it's necessary to have a vapor guard, 6 mil plastic on the ground. Otherwise, there is a risk of moisture coming up out of the ground and creating an environment where molds and mildews can thrive. I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, if you look at March corn, it had a high on the day of $5.15 before coming back to earth ever so slightly to $5.03. And I suppose the question I have for you as it relates to the marketplace is, with these kind of price levels, what kind of dollars are we talking about for elevators to have their crops hedge? And is there a point where elevators are just going to have to let their crop go because they can't continue their hedge?
I think we're starting to see some of that already in places. If for example, if you use beans right before fall harvest started, beans were about $8.50 on the board, and now they're about $12.50 on the board. Well, anybody that bought beans for next fall at $8.50 and now has to maintain that hedge at $12.50 is out $4 a bushel. And, you know, elevators hedge, and that's not a problem because when they deliver the beans next fall, they get that money back. But in the meantime, the interest on that $4 at 7% interest is 28 cents a bushel. That's something you never get back. So the interest cost alone is 28 cents on beans today. And if beans go up another couple dollars and interest rates go up a little bit more, you're talking maybe 50 cents in interest cost alone. Elevators are doing that kind of math every day. Some of the well-financed banks are able to go to the – or financed elevators are able to go to the banks and obtain more financing, but some of the smaller elevators, you know, can't get those kind of lines of credit. And for them, it's just a simple question of, you know, liquidating their inventory and getting that hedge money back. So, yes, we are seeing that kind of calculation go through, and that's leading to wider basis levels.
So it leads to wider basis levels, and I suppose it also leads to fuller pipelines.
Yes. Yes, and fuller pipelines mean wider basis levels, and that leads to even more, you know, filling the pipeline. So in the short run, you know, farmers are selling corn, you know, on these rallies, but the elevators are selling corn not because they think the market's necessarily at a high, it's just they can't maintain the financing of it anymore.
So I guess the question then becomes, if we're trending basis weaker, what will bring it back?
Well, eventually you'll get to a point where someone will be able to obtain the financing. I mean, if you can, you know, finance this stuff, basis levels will get better by next fall because the interest cost alone goes away. If you only have to maintain a hedge for 2 weeks, for example, the interest cost is pretty negligible. You know, maintaining that interest cost for a full year is a lot of money. So as time wears on, the interest cost dwindles, and so you know, elevators will eventually want to buy that grain. It's just that right now, it's awful expensive to buy grain and sit on it for a year at a time.
Let's get your prices today.
All right. Cash corn tonight is $4.88. New crop corn, $4.90. Cash beans, $12.31. New crop, $12.03. Cash wheat, $8.77. And new crop, $7.66.
Thank you much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons. He is in Champaign, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll have agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Trustees at Parkland College will decide this week whether there's a need to look for a permanent president. At issue is interim leader Tom Ramage's status. Parkland spokeswoman Jody Littleton says trustees will likely vote Wednesday in executive session whether to offer the post to him permanently. Ramage has served as interim president since last June when Robert Exley left the school. Trustees Chairman Jim Ayers says Ramage underwent a performance evaluation over the weekend and trustees are pleased with the outcome. University of Illinois trustees will be asked later this week to approve increases in housing costs on the Urbana campus for the next fiscal year. The rate changes vary from 4% to 8% depending on where a student plans to live, the size of the room or rooms, and whether they've enrolled in campus meal plans. Most of the additional funding will go toward the cost of a 150-bed residence hall under construction and new dining facilities. Associate Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Mike DiLorenzo says those hikes are similar to what's been requested in recent years at the U of I and what other state universities are asking for in terms of housing costs. The water is receding in Watseka, where more than 600 people have been forced from their homes by flooding. State Emergency Management spokeswoman Patty Thompson says damage assessment teams remain in both Watseka and Pontiac. Iroquois County and Newton County in Indiana remain under flood warnings until tomorrow morning. Chicago has procured the federal funding for key parts of its O'Hare Airport expansion. Senator Dick Durbin says Chicago will get $42 million to cover the costs of a new air traffic control tower. He says the tower is a vital part of the planned $15 billion airport expansion. Durbin and Chicago Mayor Richard Daley announced the grant standing in front of the partially completed tower, which officials say will begin operations in late November. The O'Hare project calls to expand and reconfigure runways to reduce delays. It also calls for building a new terminal with more gates and parking on the airport's west side. Cooks and cashiers are now joining managers in suing the Casey's General Store chain over overtime. The Iowa-based convenience store chain has more than 1,400 stores in six states. The federal suit filed in Iowa claims current and former cooks and cashiers were wrongfully denied overtime pay and wages. Managers had filed a similar class action suit. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
Boy, it's been quite the story down in South America, particularly in certain regions which have trended dry, and comes to mind Rio Grande do Sul. And it looks like finally they may be out of the woods.
Well, particularly in that area, I think there will be some relief, but actually the bigger issue going on right now is Argentina. We've already had some, you know, extreme heat developing across the region. It looks like that general trend will continue as we go into the second half of January. And the heat, along with the fact that you're not getting any widespread rain events across the region, means that yield potential, especially for corn right now, which is in the midst of pollination, a yield potential will be in a declining mode. And that's already happened over the last couple of weeks. So the big issue right now is in Argentina.
Especially in the northern parts of Argentina, yes?
More so north and south, but there are even some pockets across the southern belt that are having some problems that did not get the thunderstorm activity that other areas did last week. So it's kind of here and there across Argentina.
Might we see some rainfall on Buenos Aires, northern Buenos Aires, in the next week or so that might help?
Well, we will, but the problem with the next event coming up late this week and over the weekend, it's going to be somewhat similar to what happened last week. It's not going to be widespread. So we have indications that about 50% of the corn and soybean acreage in Argentina will be getting some rain with the weekend event here upcoming, but it's not going to be any more than that. So even in a place like BA and up into a Cordoba and Entre Rios, you're going to get into a situation where some areas will tend to pick up some rain, some areas will not tend to pick up some rain, but the bigger overriding issue has been and will continue to be the heat across those areas as this ridge of high pressure continues to periodically pump up right over the Argentine grain belt.
Back here in the States, it looks like there is some land that needs some snowfall. Eastern Kansas, Ohio, Michigan, those kind of places, are they going to get it ahead of cold air?
Well, a little bit, but certainly nothing widespread. You know, the colder air that's coming in for the week and early next week across both the plains and the Midwest is not going to come in on the heels of any kind of a big, widespread winter storm. There's going to be a few little bands of light snow here and there across the plains, and some of the snow belts in the Great Lakes will tend to get quite a bit of snowfall here coming up. But it's not like you're going to have a big, wide swath of heavy snow for massive protection. So that's something that has to be really be watched over the next week's time frame. And again, this is mainly an issue in the more northern areas of the Plains Hard Red Belt, as well as the Midwest Soft Redwood and Wheat Belt, but specific low temperatures certainly are going to be pretty close to thresholds that would cause some winter kill damage.
Thank you much, John.
My pleasure, David.
You too. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, cash green report, and weather on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.